ever accomplish anything and we ever get anything done, we're going to have the mind of Christ, first of all. We're going to have his mind about things. And then we're going to have to get in one mind and one accord about the work of God and the things of God if we're going to ever see the Lord bless. I mean, God ain't going to bless a bunch of division and divided folk. I mean, we're going to have to get in one mind about doctrine. We're going to have to get in one mind about the things of God, the program of God, the church of God. And I believe we can still see God move in this day and hour that we're living in if we can get beyond ourselves. Amen. Ourselves is what's hindering us. People, you know, we've just got that old human nature, and it's hard to get rid of it. I mean, we'll never get rid of it, but it's hard to live out of it and to walk in the Spirit daily instead of walking in the flesh. So many times we're so guilty of walking in the flesh, and we let things upset us, and we show our righteous indignation a lot of times when we ought to just reckon ourselves to be dead. And the Bible teaches us that. I don't know why we all feel like everybody is entitled to our opinions about things sometimes. I mean, sometimes you may be right, but sometimes, you know, I found out a lot of times it's just best to keep quiet. You know, because when you put your input in, usually it makes things worse. I've always said this, if you let a sleeping dog lay, a lot of times he'll sleep. It won't bother him. And we don't have to battle everything that comes up. And I've tried to pick my battles the last few years, and I've learned these things in the pastorate down through the time, what little I have pastored, that you don't have to deal with everything. You know, when we're young, we want to hit everything. You know, we want to deal with every issue. We're afraid somebody's going to call us a compromiser, but you know, long as we're doing what the Lord says, who gives a rip what everybody says? You know, we do what we feel that God's leading us to do. And I think that we'll get a whole lot more done than we will attacking everything. And every issue that comes up, that we got to dig it up and cover it up and get it out in the opening. But tonight we want to look at another B there in verse 8. There's three B's actually in verse 8. It says, "Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren." And that first one, be pitiful, and then be courteous. We want to look at that one that says, be pitiful, be pitiful. And we think about pitiful people sometimes and stuff, but that's not really what that word means. It comes from a Greek word that means compassionate, tender-hearted, of good-heartedness. And the command to be pitiful means to be full of pity, not to be pitied, and is closely related to the idea of having compassion one of another. To have compassion is to feel with somebody else. And you know, I think a lot of times if we'd look for that opportunity, we see someone that's down and we could get the right kind of compassion. Now, I've thought about this a lot. You know, if we're not careful, we'll let this world system and the things that's going on, these deadbeats and all this stuff, we'll let them zap the compassion out of us. We'll let these troublemakers, if we're not careful, zap the compassion out of us. And that's not what the Bible said. It says for us to be pitiful, to be compassionate one toward another. When we see someone that's struggling or someone that's hurting, we ought to have compassion toward that brother and try to lift them up and try to help them. But to have passion is basically the same thing here as what he's talking about here, being pitiful. The Greek words for compassion and pity in the New Testament speak of feeling with others of deep inward emotions and of extending mercy. This verse is saying that to love our brothers, we must have mercy and compassion on them. Our attitude toward others should be full of pity. And you know, a lot of times we don't have that compassion toward one another that we should. We're always looking for fault. We're always trying to find fault and look for mistakes that someone's making. And if we just realize, we're all made up of the same thing. We all make mistakes. We all have problems. And if we love the brethren like the Bible teaches us to love one another, I believe a church ought to be a close-knit family. I believe that we ought to be able to forbear. We looked at some of that not too many weeks back there about forbearing with one another. But yet, a lot of times when we see somebody get down, we want to kick them even down further. We want to point out their faults, point out their mistakes, point out their troubles that's coming their way. In reality, we should be having some compassion and trying to help one another and encourage one another in the Lord. But we look at several things here about having compassion tonight, or being pitiful toward one another. Everybody needs mercy and compassion. Everybody. And, you know, a lot of times people have more mercy and compassion on an animal or something. And you know, I believe somebody that's got a tender heart, you know, things like that touch them. You see things that have been abused. And, you know, I've always been compassionate toward animals. Well, I remember one time when me and Debbie first got married, somebody threw out an old dog. It was probably had some retriever in it, but it was a little old dog. That thing had mange, Brother Keith. It was ugly. And they put it out down there at Pond Fork, and I took that dog home with us, and I put motor oil, and I doctored that thing up, and he grew up to be, he would play catch. You could throw rocks out in the road trying to get them out of the yard, and he'd bring them back and put them in front of the lawnmower. And he'd go back out there and wait for you. But, you know, I had compassion on that animal. And sometimes people have, it's easier for people to have mercy and compassion on animals. And we've got this thing all mixed up today. And we need to have, everybody needs mercy and compassion, to show them a little compassion along the way. Job said that life is tough. And it is. You look around, life's tough. There's a lot of people struggling. And there's a lot, mind you now, you gotta have discernment. There's a lot of people that's self-inflicted with things. They've self-inflicted troubles. They've self-inflicted problems. But that person I'm talking about tonight, and we ought to show a little compassion maybe to them. I believe we should. But that person is trying, and that person is working, and they're trying to provide, and they have troubles. It seems like, have you ever seen anybody, it just seems like everything and every kind of trouble could come their way. I mean, it just seemed like their whole life. And that's what Job said. Job was talking about. He said, life is tough. Job 14, verses 1 and 2 said, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of troubles. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. So Job knew about troubles. You know the first chapter of Job, how the devil had a desire to tempt Job, and the Lord gave him leeway to test Job there. And we see that Job, and studying and reading the book of Job, we see all the problems, the troubles that come his way. His children, all of them died in the whirlwind, and his wife even got to the point, and old Job, got down in sackcloth and ashes, and his wife didn't even have much compassion and mercy on it. She said, Job, you still retain your integrity. Why don't you curse God and die? And Job reminded her, said, shall we take it the hand of the good of God, and then when the troubles come, curse God? I mean, come on, woman, get real. And but we see that life is full of troubles, and everybody has problems and troubles that comes their way. And everybody today seems like it's having a tough time. And someday, you know, you and I may want people to take pity on us. Jesus said over in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 7, he said, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Now, that's one of the Beatitudes. I mean, we ought to take heed to what the Bible says. Yet, we have such a hard time sometimes showing mercy to those that are weak in the faith. Everyone is not on the same plane as you are. We need to always keep that in mind. Somebody that just gets saved, or maybe someone that's been saved a year or two, maybe they're not on the same plane as you. You know, maybe they're doing things that you might not think that they should be doing, and they're involved in things maybe. But, you know, we ought to show compassion when they have troubles and problems come their way. If you want mercy, we need to show mercy. That's one reason every believer, I believe this evening, should be pitiful in their dealings with others. Because one of these days, you may need some mercy. You may need someone to show you just a little compassion and mercy. Can I say, secondly, this evening, compassion can save people. Compassion can save people. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24 to 26, the Bible said, "The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto who? All men, apt to teach, patient in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledgement of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him in his will." So we see here that as Paul pins down 2 Timothy chapter 2, as God breathed upon him and the Holy Spirit led him, he said, the servant of the Lord. That man of God, he ought not strive with people. He ought to be gentle unto all men. And you know, that's why we got to take care and we got to take notice to what people are going through. You know, we don't know what they faced that day, you know, when they responded in a negative way sometimes. And we ought to keep that in mind. Jude verse 22 said, "And of some have compassion, making a difference." You want to make a difference in somebody's life? Show them a little compassion sometimes. Show them a little mercy. When you think that they might need a tongue lashing or they might need correcting, you know, sometimes it might just be good just to listen to what they have to say. And it's a hard thing to do, you know. In reality, God gave us 2 ears, so we ought to be twice as quick to listen as we are to speak sometimes. We've got one mouth, 2 ears, so instead of voicing our opinion to people and what their problem they're facing, sometimes we'll just show some mercy and listen to them. And maybe we could encourage them along the way. But then we see number 3, pity involves not demanding justice. Pity involves not demanding justice. Notice there in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, the Bible says, "Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips, that they speak no guile." And so we see here that pity involves not demanding justice sometimes, not wanting to get back at someone. That's our first instinct as the natural man, is when somebody crosses you, you want to get right back at them. Well, you know, as we grow in grace, we ought to be willing to show some grace in certain areas. And a lot of times if we would do that, it would head off a lot of problems down the road somewhere, I believe. Read what Jesus said about justice and mercy over in Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verses 38 through 41. Matthew 5, 38 through 41. "Ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil, that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, and do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of the Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust alike. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." So we see that Jesus, as this has been pinned down, these are the words of Jesus. He's telling us to do good to them that do evil to us. And so many times we just want to get back at someone. Pray for them. It's hard to pray for people that's despitefully using you, ain't it? That's doing you wrong. Or this crossing you in areas that you feel you have a right to get back at. We don't have the right to get back at nobody. I mean, God has pinned down enough in the scriptures about overlooking, about us being that perfect, that person that would be pleasing unto Him and loving those that despitefully use. Now, I know I'm preaching to the choir tonight. I mean, we all face this every day. But we see perfect justice demands an eye for an eye, and even balance. Mercy allows injustice at the mercy of one's expense. If someone rails on you, don't rail. If he renders you evil, you render him blessing. By example and word, Jesus taught us to live compassionate lives, and this often means not demanding balanced scales. That's a hard matter to do, ain't it?
Yes.
It's a hard matter to just to suck it up sometimes, as I tell you sometimes, you know. I'll kid Brother Holt about things a lot of times, and I'll tell him, just suck it up, you know, go on. But anyway, you know, it's a hard matter not to respond to people when you feel like they're doing you wrong or they've done you wrong. You know, you loan somebody something, they don't bring it back, you know. It's real easy to get upset and hostile about it. But sometimes you don't know the situation. But anyway, then number four, we see pity involves fighting sin. 1 Peter 4, verses 7 to 10. 1 Peter 4, verse 7 to 10 says, wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you, who shall give an account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead. For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Verse 8 there said, above all things, have fervent charity. That word charity is love in action. And he said, if you got the right kind of charity, if you got the right kind of love in your heart for your brother, he said, love, charity will cover a multitude of sin. It'll overlook a lot of things sometimes. And if we were walking in the flesh, if we're trying to get our way about things, we're trying to get back at someone, then we're gonna get what we respond to back at us, and we wonder sometimes what happened. But we see this fervent love or charity we should have for each other will cover the multitude of sins. Even among believers, there are a multitude of sins. Love, pity, and compassion will motivate us to do something about one another's sins. We should think of sin as a disease. Would you be a loving friend if you refused to do what you could to cure someone of a sickness that they had? Leviticus chapter 19, verse 17 said, thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer sin upon him. So we see if we got the right kind of love. We see a brother sin. You know, we can go to him in the right way. We can encourage. We can talk to him about that thing. Sometimes people don't realize what's going on in their lives, and others can see that in areas of their life that they begin to drift away. They begin to get involved in things that they shouldn't be. And if we don't have the right kind of love and reach out to them, then sometimes we're doing that brother wrong by not having the right kind of compassion. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Galatians 6 and verse 1. This is a good passage of scripture. When we get to looking at somebody else's problems and their sins, Paul said, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Hey, when we're looking at our brother and we're judging our brother, and we're not trying to do the part of a brother and trying to help and restore that one back to a place of fellowship, Paul said, consider your own self. Hey, it wasn't for the grace of God, no telling where you and I would be tonight. If it hadn't been for God's grace and His mercy upon us, we could be out in the sin pits of the world, the hell holes of this world this evening, and suffering and bringing a reproach upon the name of Christ. But I'm glad that God had mercy on us. We ought to show mercy to those that are getting involved in things that they shouldn't, and try to encourage them to come back. Try to get them back into that place of fellowship. Love and compassion will lead us to rebuke one another privately about matters of oblivious sin. And you know, and I know what Paul said. He said in several places, those that sin openly, rebuke them openly, that others might fear. I mean, someone that keeps going out and keeps getting involved in sin, and they're doing things that everybody knows, they're bringing a reproach upon the name of Christ and upon the church. Paul said for us to deal with it. But I'm talking about those that we come into contact with, our brothers, sisters. We see them getting mixed up. We see them about to fall. Hey, we need to have some compassion. Remember where we could be, where we were. Some of us, when God pulled us up out of that horrible pit and set our feet upon a rock and established our going. It's so easy sometimes to judge someone and to mark them off just because they messed up, you know. And the Bible teaches us, show compassion, love them, live peaceably with them, help them and encourage them in their Christian life and in their Christian walk. Compassion will cause us to refrain from gossiping about the sins of the brethren in order not to expand the damage done by these sins. So many times people get in sin and people so like a good story. They like the gossip. I mean, there's just something about gossip that attracts people. You know, they want to get involved with it. They want to talk about that person that's about to fall out of church, that one that's gotten involved in something, maybe that's taken obsessing their mind with, and getting them away from God and away from the church and out of fellowship. You watch people and you'll see that begin to creep into their lives. You'll see them begin to miss church here, miss church there, and the next thing you know, they're plumb out. And we need to pity involves fighting sin, and it helps keep one another if we have the right kind of compassion. But refrain from gossiping. Gossiping is the worst thing that anybody could do. Backbiting and gossip, that tears down more people a lot of times than anything in the world. If we pray for them as much as we gossiped about them, then I think sometimes they might not get into sin that they get into. Now, I know some people is just bent on going that way. And, you know, if we've done all we can and we've shown mercy and we've shown compassion and we've tried to help them, then there's really nothing else we can do. We do what we can and we pray for them, turn it over to the Lord and let the Lord deal with it. Pity involves a concern about the needs of others. That's what 1 Peter 4, verses 9 through 10 means there that we just read just a minute ago. 1 Peter 4 verses 9 through 10 said, use hospitality one to another without grudging. You know, God's people ought to be hospitable people. We ought to be ready to do what we can to be hospitable to those that we come into contact with. We've worked a little on our basement down through the years, and we're trying to get it where my uncle, he's coming from Texas, and he usually stays in a motel room, and we're trying to get it where we're going to put them up a bed down there where they can stay down there in the community and not have to drive to Gainesville all the time. He's like 90 years old, and his wife is 88. They drive from Texas. They'll stop at one of the Air Force bases, spend the night coming out here, and they'll make the trip in 2 days, but then they'll stay in a motel. And he's got the money to stay in a motel, but, you know, he talked about it being so high, and it is. Motels are high around here. I don't know why, but they're really high. So we're trying to get them a room. We want to be hospitable to them. I don't know if Harry's ever been saved. He, you know, he's just one of them people that's hard to talk to. And he knows everything. And you probably ask him, and we've asked him about it, but you know, he's ready, you know, and everything that, you know, way people talk sometimes. But we want to show them, be hospitable to them. And then we knew Dr. Taub and his people down at Gulf Coast. And they're the most hospitable people I've ever seen. When they have meetings come down at their church and they invite people to come, their people will put people up in their houses. And Dr. Taub and his wife both would put people up. And they're very hospitable. And he's taught his people Bible principles. The Bible teaches us to be hospitable, you know, and to take care of people, especially other brothers and sisters as they come in. And so hopefully if we can get this room fixed and we can get a bed, then we can keep the preacher when he comes, and we can save us about $500 or $600, plus we can be hospitable to them and give them a good place to stay. And pity a lot of times involves a concern about others' needs that may be going to have to stay in some motel somewhere where, you know, they just nobody there and they spend all day by themselves. And a lot of times people had rather stay in a motel, I guess, but then there's some people that had rather stay in your home if you had a place that was sort of away. We went to Colorado one time and we stayed in a friend's of ours. They had a downstairs and it was really nice and it was a blessing to be able to stay there. Miss Cameron and Brother Cameron, he got killed several years ago. A transformer blew up on him. They'd come up to the church at Zion Hill. We had a fellowship hall, and we had a little prophet's chamber, a preacher room in there, just one bed and a little bath. You know, they had rather stay there on that property in that little old room than to stay in a motel. They didn't need no TV. We didn't have no TV in there, but they didn't care about that. You know, they just liked being up there away, and they were easy people to take care of. A lot of people are easy to take care of. And we ought to be hospitable to people and show them our love, show them that we care for them, and go out of our way to make them to be a blessing to someone. Verse 10 says, "As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." The grace that God's given you, we ought to be good stewards of that. Those many facets, those many avenues of grace that He has blessed you with, you ought to use it for the honor and glory of God. But we should use hospitality and also minister one to another with the abilities and materials God has given us. God gives every one of His children things that are not meant for their personal use, but for meeting the needs of others. You know, God blesses a lot of people so they can bless others, so they can have compassion. And if we don't utilize that blessing where He's blessed us, then God can take it away from us, you know. And I think that's a gift that He gives some people, that they can minister the things that He's blessed them with and be hospitable and to be a blessing to someone else that might be fulfill the need that they have. But James chapter 2, let me read these and then I'm fixing to wind down here. James chapter 2, verse 15 and 16. Said, "If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, Depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith that if it hath not works is dead, being alone." But here we see James uses this illustration of seeing someone that's in need and tell them to be warmed and to be filled, but we don't do nothing about it, you know. He's talking about a brother. He's not talking about these panhandlers and these people that won't work. Paul said if a man won't work, he oughtn't to eat. There's professional bums out there. And every once in a while, we help them. I've turned a few people down, Miss Elizabeth, and I promise you, I feel bad after I turned them down. There was a guy pulled up at the gas pump the other night up at Kroger, and he said, "If y'all got $2, said I need $2 worth of gas to get up yonder to get my check." And you know, I didn't give him that, and I felt like a heel. I had $2. All I'd had done was went over and stuck that card in there and pumped. He probably needed that $2 to get to where. And he had got over his pride enough to ask somebody to help him. He wasn't just somebody who was looking for a handout. He needed $2 to get to where his check was. I believe that. Me and Debbie talked about it. She said, why didn't you give it to him? And it just caught me off guard. If I'd have thought just for a minute longer, there's no way that I would have left him. $5 or $10 ain't going to break a person sometimes. And we have had them pull up at the church one time. I remember this one guy, he pulled in after service, and he was standing out there, and he said he needed gas to get to Knoxville. His daddy was dying. So I told him, I said, well, let's go up here to the gas station, and I'll fill your car up. And that, he was in a little Toyota. I said, that'll get you to Knoxville. We went up there, and we packed $4 and something in that car. We packed it, and that's when gas was high. So, he was just looking for a handout. And how people can do that. We've got to have discernment. But, if we see a brother or sister in need, if we're able, we ought to help them. Now, there's some people that you have to help, and you have to help, and you have to help. And you'll continue to have to help them. And you're not helping them, really. You're just contributing to their problem. And we've got to learn to when to say enough. But if somebody's really in need, that's what we're here for. We're to help and help one another as much as we can to encourage someone. And, if somebody don't have, we get hit up with stuff all the time, and they go through troubles. It's like I mentioned, everybody faces troubles. Some people lose jobs, and things happen. It's out of their control sometimes. And I believe that we as churches, we ought to be able to step in and help them a little. Now, we can't take care of them totally, but we can do our part and try to help someone and show compassion. 1 John chapter 3, verse 16 through 18. 1 John 3. The Bible says, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's goods, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. So, God says if we have the right kind of love and we see someone that's in need, we shouldn't shut up our bowels of compassion. That's a sign, I believe, of the love that's in your heart for people. When you see someone that's hurting, they're suffering, they're struggling along at times. And I'm not one that just everybody comes along, I don't think you ought to have to give to them. But I'm talking about your brothers. If you see your sisters and your brothers in need, then we ought to be able to reach down and do something to help them. So we see number 6, compassion is a part of love. Look at 1 Peter 3:8 again. The Bible, let me get over here. 1 Peter 3:8 says, finally, be ye all one-minded, having compassion one of another, love as brethren. Families that you think about your family, and there's always a love. I know Debbie had 10 brothers, sisters? 10 of you all together. And they really love one another, I believe. They showed their love. And other families that I've seen, our family, we're not as big as theirs, but we've always had that love. I do anything for my mother and daddy or my brother. And I hope you would for your family. There ought to be love in a close-knit family like that. If one is struggling, or I believe if I got in trouble, I believe I could get the help I need. And that's who I'd go to first, would be my family. And that ought to be the way it is with everybody. That's the way it ought to be here at church. Somebody gets in trouble, they ought to be able to come to us for prayer or whatever, of encouragement, to try to keep them where they need to be. Keep them accountable and let them know that we love them. And I believe there's some love here, a lot of love for one for another. And that's the way church should be. We ought to love one another. We ought to do what we can to encourage one another. I see some that's not here, and I see people, things happen in their life, and it hurts to know that they let little things just get them and drag them down, and the next thing you know, they think it's worthy of quitting and going on their way. Nobody never likes to see anybody going. You'll never hear me say, well, they look better going than they did coming. Because it hurts every time. If you got the right kind of love in your heart for one another, it hurts when you see somebody and you get used to them being around. It's like a divorce in a family. That's probably the closest thing to a death as anything. You know, you see a person, two people are married, and then they live together for years and years. They become part of that family, and then that divorce severs that relationship, and one goes one way, and it hurts the family. The same way with the church. When God puts you in a place, you know, you better make sure that God's leading you somewhere else and not just let some little problem or little incident drive you away. Because I'm going to tell you, there's going to be some grief down the road somewhere. And we ought to have the right kind of love. This whole verse admonishes us to love one another, to see that being pitiful is part of loving the brethren. Don't say you love somebody if you can't have mercy on them. Let's make our love around here practical and do things for one another that evidence the pity that the Lord showed to those that he met. And you look at Jesus' life as he was here on earth, the people that he come into contact. Bible, he loved. I mean, he looked at Jerusalem. He said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often have I gathered you together as a hen doth her brood, and yet you would not. And he shed tears, and he loved the Jewish people, and he loved you and I. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I'm glad that God's demonstrated his love. And we as believers, as Christians, we ought to demonstrate our love one for another and show some mercy and some compassion. In this cold, wicked world that we're living in, someone's looking for a little compassion and a little love. And it ain't hard to do sometimes, just to extend that little extra effort and show someone some love. It don't matter if there's some old drunk on your road. You know, you can show them a little mercy. We got some on our road. We got some stuff going on down there, but you know, if we just be friendly and show some people some compassion sometime, might make a difference in their life. And then there's some people you show compassion and you show love, and they're going their way and they're bent on going that way, and ain't nothing you can do about it, but you can show the compassion and love that you should to them. Lord, we sure do thank you again for your love for us, Lord. And I pray that you'll help us as individuals, that we'll show our love one for another around here and the people that we come into contact with. We realize this cold world that we're living in, people are looking for somebody to love them. Lord, help us to be that people. Lord, I pray for this church, for each individual here. Lord, we thank you for the closeness that we can feel. And Lord, I thank you for the love that I can sense from the people here, Lord. And I pray that you'll help me to love them the way that as a pastor should. And Lord, that we'll love one another. And we'll see the work of God prosper around here at Open Door Baptist Church. We'll see sinners saved. We'll see people added to church daily, such as should be saved, and give you the glory and honor. Help us to be like-minded. Help us to be pitiful. Help us to have that love and compassion and mercy that we should have. And we'll give you glory and praise. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' sake, amen.